when you pray, when you study, when you listen to God's voice, when you've submitted to Him, the best way you know how, you should not be ashamed, because God is working in your life, even when you don't see it.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, June 14th, 2026. Pastor Zonia is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Audience of One. And our text comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And now here is Pastor Zoni.
Our text this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And the King James Version says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's see it in the screen, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is writing to his younger minister friend, and he's also speaking to every Christian. And he's speaking not as a theory, not as a religious decoration of sorts. Paul is writing at the end of his life, near his end of his life, and he understood that other people had to follow what he was doing. And all of us need to think about that, that there is a task to be done for our own generation, that each one of us is responsible to serve the generation they live. It's a responsibility. And in the middle of this letter, Paul, writing to Timothy, tells him very clearly. He says, I want you to be a straight shooter. I want you to minister correctly. I want you to take advantage of what God has done in your life. And so what I want you to do is this. I want you to prepare yourself approved unto God. And the challenge for us today is that you and I need to be approved unto God. I say this because often we don't understand the importance of coming before God Himself. Sometimes we want to be approved by the crowd. Sometimes we want to be approved by popularity. Most of the time, people want to be applauded. And of course, some of those who work for institutions, they want to be institutionally applauded and successful. But the scripture says that you and I have a responsibility before the audience of one, which is God. And secondly, after that responsibility, it is the people of God who bless you and say, yes, God is working in your life. Ministry in your life and in my life, as a Christian, as a believer, is not about performance, but faithfulness before God where He called you. And you know, one of the most interesting things is that most of the time, we don't are not able to evaluate other people's faithfulness because we don't know what God has called them to do or to be. And there are things that you do in your own nick of the woods, if I can use that, what you do in your life that spells faithfulness before the Lord. And it may not express faithfulness before others, for they don't understand where you are and what you're doing for the Lord. But I just want you to be sure that you and I are not called to be popular, but we're called to be formed by God's word, and we're called to prayer, and we're called to obedience. It's a personal thing, and it becomes also collective, but it is a responsibility that you and I have. The verse that we read, 2 Timothy 2:15, speaks of a worker, a person who cuts a straight path, someone who handles the word of God honestly and does not distort it. When you and I read God's word, He speaks to you in a way in which you can identify as being truthful. And you and I are commanded and directed to take God's word at its worth and not try to twist it or accommodate it. Remember, when some people want to do this, they say, well, tithing is for the Old Testament, not for the New Testament. When they start with that one, you know that they don't want to tithe, you know, so. You know, sometimes you can quibble over verses, but it is so clear that God has spoken in certain ways. And when you try to manipulate what God has said, then you're in dangerous territory. The Lord speaks to you, He speaks to me, and we need to handle the word honestly and not distort it. What is he saying to you, my brother and my sister, this morning? How is he whispering into your ear? Or how is he shouting at you and saying, this is what I need or want from you? The goal of reading the Word and understanding the Word is not just to have information, but to become that kind of a person who can live in the kingdom of God under the rule of Christ. What an opportunity, wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful end. What a wonderful way of judging and measuring your walk with the Lord. So there are three things. First, I want you to think about presenting yourself to God. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And the first audience that you and I have is God. We present ourselves before God. He is the one who looks at that. And before we stand before people, or before we stand with our co-workers, before we stand with our family, we stand before God. God looks at you and you stand before him. Before we speak to others about the Lord, we're seen by God. Before we even break the Bible or try to explain the Bible, we must be taught by the Bible. There's something about serving God from his perspective and not from the perspective of others. You and I don't study the Word of God or read the Word of God just solely to impress others. And though sometimes we have those who want to impress you because they know chapter and verse, you know. But that's not the reason you and I study the Word. We don't necessarily study the Word to show that we're intelligent or to be admired. But we read Scripture and we allow the Scripture to work in our hearts so that God can do something with our lives. So truthfully. So ministry, your calling could be a calling, could be a worker, could be a bicyclist, could be a physician, could be a lawyer, could be a housewife, could be a father. Your calling, what you do in life, brothers and sisters, must begin in the hidden part of your life, in the hidden place. Before anything happens, before the classroom, if you teach, before surgery, if you're a surgeon, before a lawyering, if you're a lawyer, there is a surrender of heart. Before anything we do, there is obedience before the Lord. Lord, what does your word say about this that I am doing today? We look at our own hearts, and we need to pay attention how God is working in the heart. We go to Scripture. We deal with people. We deal with our souls. But ministry never loses its center when God is there. But it will lose our center when it becomes performance. Paul is saying something like this. Timothy, do not begin with people's approval. Begin with God. That is so profound. It's so personal, but it's so liberating because you don't have to prove anything to anybody as you work your life in the presence of God. It is so wonderful to know that I can come before God, and God is my judge, and he is the one who I report to, so to speak. Everything else is secondary. We don't begin with the approval of people. We don't begin wanting people to say, you've done a good job. We begin by coming before God and having God speak to our hearts. If you and I want to live for the approval of our brothers and sisters in the church, as saintly as you look this morning, boy, you do look very saintly today, you're going to have troubles because none of us have been called by God to be the yardstick of your faithfulness to God. So the question is very direct and very sincere. Sincerely, you and I live before the Lord, and our question is, have we presented ourselves before God? Have we come to him and say, Lord, here is my life. Has God spoken to you? So the first thing is to present yourself to God. To who?
God.
Thank you. To who?
God.
And everybody else a second. Now, the seconds are important, but the most important is the first one. Because you got to deal with yourself in the presence of God. And you know you can't cheat. You can't fake it before God. You just can't. Try it. You won't like it because you will not be able to come before God and say this when you think of something else. So you come before the Lord and you say, here I am, Lord. You are the audience that I seek. You are the approval I long for. You are the one. And then the second thing that Paul tells Timothy and he tells us is that we need to work without shame. That's a big one. Paul calls Timothy a worker. He doesn't call him a star. He doesn't call him a performer. He doesn't call him a religious personality. I think I hit all of the ones I want to hit. He calls him a worker, un obrero, a worker. You may not know this, but I'm going to let you into a really big secret. Ministry is work. I'll say it again. Ministry is work. What is ministry? Work. Holy work, yes. Spiritual work, yes. But it's still work. Let me tell you, when you work, you work. When you don't work, you're lazy. When you're lazy, hey, whatever happens. But when you work, you're going to find yourself tired at times. And you're going to find yourself doubting and all kinds of things that go on with when you work hard. So in your life, in my life, as we fulfill God's calling in our hearts, you're going to have to study God's word. There's going to be something called discipline in your life, like in my life. Sometimes, more often than I want to mention, there is correction. Oops. Oops. And then there's another element that I kind of always get confused with the Lord. It's called patience. What's that little saying? I'm not perfect. God is not done with me yet, or something like that, whatever. But hey, patience is required because God's working in your life. And he doesn't push. He guides. Sometimes you take a detour. So he's waiting until he's ready for you to go back to where you need to be. There's also preparation. Yeah, you need to prepare. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How do I go to work tomorrow morning on Monday? I need to go with the presence and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to prepare. Now, there's something else that some of us have a hard time. And when you serve the Lord, there's suffering. Look, I'm not about to open my heart and show you the suffering that I've gone through because I don't have to. And because it's personal. Yesterday at graduation, some of you remember Brother Prieto. His name is Daniel Prieto. He came and gave me a book that he wrote, and it's called How the Joy of Not Being Maneuvered by Bitterness. Yeah. You know, you can be serving the Lord and be bitter. Sometimes you can be upset with God himself, which is kind of silly. But it happens. And God can take it, by the way. God's big enough for your silliness. But you've got to understand that when you serve the Lord, there are going to be losses. There are going to be points of rebellion. There are going to be points of why am I suffering this way when I'm serving you? Well, that's spiritual work. That's ministry work. That's holy work. And then there's what I call repetition. You go all over and it's like a cycle. But you and I need not to be ashamed because we have not been careless, regardless of where you and I are today. Because when you pray, when you study, when you listen to God's voice, when you've submitted to him, the best way you know how, you should not be ashamed because God is working in your life. Even when you don't see it, even when all the doors are shut, God is working in your life. There is shame, though, when you manipulate Scripture. There is shame when the Bible is twisted to form your own opinions. And sometimes people fight over things that are so ridiculous, but they do. But there is shame when We tell people to hear God's voice, and yet we avoid what he says. I remember one time, and Paul says in the next verse, to avoid godless chatter, verse 16, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. I remember a gentleman in our church. I'll call him a gentleman. He's a brother. I think he's still with life. I think he's alive still. Has not passed away. And he would argue that when the second coming of Christ, and he had a whole idea of how the second coming of Christ was supposed to be. And if he would disagree with me, he would fight you. I mean, mad. You know, and then there's another one that, Christ will come before the Great Tribulation. Otherwise, Christ will come in the middle of the Great Tribulation. And Christ will come after the Great Tribulation. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then thank God for it. Because the answer was, you can go in the rapture according to your theology. If you want to go before the Great Tribulation, go. If you want to go in the middle, go in the middle. If you want to go at the end, go at the end. But I'm going when he comes. And he's the only one who knows, but he would not accept that. He would fight. Trying to make the scripture say something that wasn't there, just like tithing too, or divorce, or all of the social evils that we face today. We try to justify things, and scripture cannot be twisted. We have to understand scripture the way that it's been handed down to us. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's no shame when you and I have been faithful to the Word of God, and we say, this is what the Word of God says. The Christian life, our life, is not merely trying to look good for public or win arguments. The important thing about the Word of God is that you and I are being transformed into the image of Christ. And at the end of the day, you say to yourself, how much have I shown Christ in my actions today? And Spirit of the Lord will reveal to you the good things you've done. And those things that you've done that you know you should not have done, the Lord will speak to you. And you will endeavor for him the next day to improve. Because I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt, God is working on you and on me. God has not ceased to work in your heart. He's in your heart. He's not there to condemn you. He's there to bless you. And he blesses you through the word that shows you the path, rightly dividing the word of God, working without shame. Which tells us into the third point that I need to continue. And it says, rightly, you handle the word of truth correctly. You present yourself, you work without shame, and then you handle the word of God correctly. That's the heart of the verse. It's handling God's word as it was spoken to your heart and as you have read it in scripture. Because it takes the scripture, takes the word of God, takes you diving into God's word, you reading God's word. That's the first step. The second step is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who will show you, who will open your eyes, who will open your eyes to what the scripture is saying, even to you at that moment. Now, it's continually saying the same thing through generations, but your eyes have to be open. You need to catch that, because it's not just intellectual, not just the brain, but your spirit that catches the truth. And there's a transformation that takes place in your life. A worker that handles the word of God correctly, you and I, as we handle God's word, we will find out that it leads us in a path of everlasting joy and peace. Something about the word of God that is practical and is powerful. And you and I must never change that pattern for our own purposes. Accept what God says to you and say, this is what the Lord is saying to me. I don't want to make this sound like this is only you and God, because not only do you need the word, you need the spirit, but you also need community. You need the church. The church, brothers and sisters around you, guess what? They are not perfect, but don't tell anybody. But it's here, in the imperfections of our humanity, that we hear God's voice speaking to us and accentuating and affirming what we need to do and what we don't need to do. It takes the three. It takes the Word of God that we read. It takes the Spirit of God that instructs us. And it takes community, where we live out the faith that God has given us to do. So you and I do not bend the Bible to our preferences. We don't cut the text that we don't like. We don't use the Word of God simply to, well, use it as a weapon or pride, like I know when Christ is coming, you know, and then and all that kind of nonsense. And we don't make Scripture say what it doesn't say. We humbly before the Lord handle the Word of God correctly. This is what God says. This is what He speaks. This is what has been given to us. And this is what we will follow through. We read it carefully with a sense of holiness. We interpret it honestly as the Spirit of God speaks to our heart. We share it faithfully and we apply it. We apply it humbly. Never forget that the Bible is not under us. We are under the Bible. It is what the Bible says, is what God's Word says that counts. Scripture is not merely, again, merely just to give us information. No. It's not to analyze our brain power. It is the living Word of God that forms us. We're formed by the Word of God. We're formed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that shows us what the Word says, and we live that faith in community. We enter the world of Scripture, and God comes through it in ways unimaginable. I remember talking about reading the Scriptures, and some people like to read the whole Bible all the way through. And, you know, they say, I've read the Bible this year, the whole thing, three times. Well, what has it done? I you know, what good has it been that you have read it three? How does character, how have you changed? And they can't say anything except that they have read it all. Doesn't mean anything when you just read it all. You need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, and then you need to live that out in community. That's what the Word of God, it forms us. We enter the world of Scripture, and we let God form us through it. Oh, yeah, it's not like I got to read five chapters a day. No, I need to be in the presence of God today. Sometimes I can read a chapter in the Bible, it doesn't mean anything to me in the sense that it has nothing I said. But I keep on reading, and then all of a sudden, three verses of 1 hour of reading the Scriptures, those three verses accentuated in my heart. I said, so this is what the Lord wanted me to see today. That's how you and I read the Word. The purpose of Scripture is to transform us into Christ-likeness. That's the trigger. Have you been acting like Christ? Better not do too much there. We don't study the Word to win arguments or to prove that we know the Scriptures. We study so that our lives can become obedient to God. So rightly dividing the Word means more than just technical accuracy and saying this is what the Greek says. We study that our lives may be obedient to what He says in the Word. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, you know, How do I compare people? Well, he says, you know, there were two people. They heard my words, and they built the house, but they built it on the sand, and they didn't build it on the words that I said, and the storm came, and those who did not build it on my word, the storm wiped them out. But those who built it on the rock, which is my word, they stood the test of time. And that's exactly what this is about. Not faking it, not trying to be something you're not, but being people of the Word. Rightly dividing the Word of God, hearing and handling the Word of God as it speaks to you and tells you the truth about where you are today. Not to condemn you. No. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world. No. This is not condemnation. This is illumination. It's showing you what God wants to do in your life. It's hard sometimes to face that in the mirror. I don't want to talk about the mirror. Okay, let's leave it there. Sometimes I get frightened when I see the mirror. I told you a couple of weeks ago that I saw an album of yesterday's people in the church, and I couldn't believe it that we have gone through 47 years just like that. Ay, 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 ay. But I'm still cuter. Anyway, in my dreams, let's move on. The approved worker, you and I, who have been called of God, And as a Christian, you're called of God. You handle the Word of God. You allow God's Word his truth in such a way that your character is affected by it. Your life belongs and lives around God's word. It's a togetherness. You're people of the word, people of the spirit, people of community. So the world of truth does not need us to improve it. It needs us to handle it truthfully. What is God saying to me through his word? So I need to conclude this morning. So Paul tells Timothy, him, and tells all of us to present yourself before God. How many have presented yourself before God? Let me see your hands. Just to go, the rest of you, oh my goodness. You got to present yourself before God. Every day or every night, present yourself before God. Say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Wow. That's the audience of one. You know, that's the one that really matters. Not that others don't matter, but I mean, that's it starts there. Because God says, nothing is hidden from me. Whew. Then it says, work without shame. What he's really saying to us is that in spite of all of the difficulties that we may find ourselves, there is a work to be done, and it can be done because God calls us to do so. So there is a ministry to fulfill. And then handle the word of God truthfully. Don't cause a short circuit. Don't cut yourself short. Let the word of God work. In one of my other lives, I was in, it was not Nicaragua, I believe it was Honduras. And this person had been injured, and I was with some of the nurses that were working there and the doctors, and this guy came in with a wound. It was in his leg about that big, and he was bleeding, and the guy was in pain, and he thought he was going to lose his leg. He did not lose his leg, but there was a lot of blood coming out, and doctors came, and they put some cloths or whatever to stop the bandages. And stuff. But then came a moment when they had to remove everything, and they had to, in those days it was kind of crude. They had to pour, you know, something like alcohol in an open wound. The guy screamed. I can still hear him screaming, you know. Sometimes the word of God does that. But you know what? That is what cured it and prevented him from losing his leg. So sometimes, you know, you kind of get into a hostile territory and you're all wounded up and bleeding. Let the presence of the Holy Spirit come and, yeah, feel the impact of the alcohol. In the right sense of the word, when I say alcohol, you got to watch out with this crowd, you know. You sometimes you take me literally because it just suits you, you know. But sometimes it's stint. Sometimes it's hard. But take it. Because it's not applause that you're looking for. You're looking God's approval in your life. Sometimes it needs to be cleansed with alcohol. It's not performance that he's looking. It's not how many Facebook stuff you have going on. Please don't judge yourself with that stuff. Please, please. He looks at your faithfulness. It's not manipulation. It's the truth. It's not your ego, but obedience before the Lord. And often the obedience that you do is silent by everybody. Let me tell you another story. I got time. It's only 12:18, so. Her name was Betty Gentry. This was in the days of Irwin Street Four Square Church. That's going back 50 years. No, more than that. 54 years. Maybe I should be proud of it, but anyway. And I was going to, I just attended Fuller for my first semester of my studies there. And so it's when Fuller was Fuller. Fuller today, I don't know what Fuller is, but it's kind of empty, but in those days it was Fuller. It's a plain word, come on, come on. This is being broadcast. I hope nobody offends itself, but I could care less. And I had a very big tuition bill. And at the end of the first semester, I was sweating it out how in the world I was going to pay for that. But the Lord had opened doors for me to go there, so I went there. And Brother Saul Avery, who's with the Lord now, Some of you might remember JR, who would come to church in a wheelchair. He was in a bad accident years ago. And I remember Saul coming to me and said, "Brother Zone, someone paid your tuition." "What?" "Here's a check. Everything's paid for. You don't know anything. We're sending the check." My goodness. "Well, who did this?" "I can't tell you." "Oh, come on. You can tell me." "I cannot tell you." I said, "Well, I wonder who." So I would look and say, "A ver, ¿quién? ¿Quién tiene plata? Who's got the money?" So then the next semester came by, and he says, "Brother Zoring, Pastor, you got nothing to worry about. I have a check here that's going to pay your entire bill at Fuller." And there was a check for the full amount of my master's work. You know, that's when you know God calls you, kind of like, you know, it's provided that way. I said, "But who?" "I can't tell you." Well, he died without telling me. I never knew from his lips what it was until one day the person was here when I received honoris causa. It's got an honorary degree in education for Brother Madrigal and Tulane University and Biola. We all came here, and Dr. Van Cleve was here. It was a festive time, wonderful time. And she came and said, "I'm the one who did that." And she was the last person in this world that I thought she had money. So you do it unto the Lord without showing off. She did that. She blessed me tremendously. It put me in the path of what Facultad is today, because I needed that degree. See, God does things like that. And some of you have been guilty, in the right sense of the word, of doing that, because you've handled checks for people who are in need. By the way, many people wanted to get Betty Gentry's address and phone number when I, you know, and I don't give that information away. She's with the Lord now anyway. But what I'm saying is, it's amazing how you can give secretly as unto the Lord, because that is the calling of God in your life. So we're talking about not manipulation, not about ego, but obedience, not just being informed, but being transformed by God's presence in your life. So I do need to conclude. So at the end of the day, at the end of this message, have you honored God? Have you handled God's word faithfully in your own life? Have you allowed the word of God to shape your life in the places that you know you need shaping? How many know you need some areas? Don't even do that, please. We all have areas of life where the word of God is longing to work in your life. You just need to say, "Open it, Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm available, Lord." And do you serve as a worker? He does not need to be ashamed, because you're doing what you can by the help and the glory of God. The final approval does not come from the crowd, my brothers and sisters. You will not get it from people around you. It comes from God. It comes from God. And the greatest joy in the ministry is not, "Gee, he had good words," or "She had good words." The greatest joy is going to come when you stand before God. And by the way, it's coming. Nobody wants to hear that. But it's coming when you will stand before God. And he will call you a faithful worker. He will say, "You handle my word with truth." He will say to you, "You served without shame." And he will say to you, "You sought me, and my approval above all was in your heart." So, Lord, I pray this morning that you would make us workers approved by you. Lord, teach us not to seek the applause of people, but your approval. Lord, give us discipline to study. Give us courage, Lord. Give us integrity. Give us humility, Lord. Help us to handle your word correctly. Lord, may we never use your truth carelessly, but apply it correctly, Lord. Lord, may your word form us even before we share it with anybody else. May our words and preaching and teaching and living point always to Jesus Christ. Make us faithful workers without shame, rightly handling the word of truth for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Will you stand? So anybody needs to make a commitment to present themselves before God? Can we switch? I've got to present myself before God. A couple of hands. Anybody else? Okay, this is the holy side. I'm staying over from that side. But it's so important that you do this every day. Present yourself before God. It's important to let the word of God speak to your heart. And this is important for you to work according to how God has guided you. And that's the success of a Christian. That's the path of a Christian. Ah, the rest, you know, people will say things. So let them say things. You talk to the Lord about it. Don't let anybody else judge your performance. Just know that the Lord is working in your life and you're working with Him. And all of us have issues. Bring those issues before the Lord. He will bless you, strengthen you, and will allow you to be everything that He intends for you to be for His glory. All right, one more amen.
Amen.
So this is the day. And you've been itching to hear those words. Brother, close the doors. I've not dismissed the church service. I keep telling him that. He gets desperate to let you out of here. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We pray that you will bless and keep every one of my brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, that you will cause your face to shine upon them. I pray that you will be gracious to them. I pray that you would lift up your face to them, and that you will give them peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. The Lord is good.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.